If you would please join me and stand as we listen to God's word this morning as we open up with the message here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 6, it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap, will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And God is able, say that, God is able. God is able. That's just nestled right in the midst of all this. God is able to make all grace, notice all the alls, to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, four of them right there. I could preach a whole sermon on those. "You will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." Amen. "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for your obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you. Because of the surpassing grace that God has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." You may be seated. Start off with some old school honoring of the reading of God's word. That's something I think you guys used to do that a long time ago, didn't you? You'd stand when the word of God was read. I love that passage. I love, and it's no secret, I love preaching about money, and it's not because I love money. It's because I love that the Bible talks about something that we deal with every day, and it's so relevant. There are so many topics in the Bible that as a preacher, part of my job is to read and study and then figure out how this fits today and then bring that. And sometimes the toughest part about that, I mean, the reading part, the studying part comes pretty easy. Sometimes the hardest part about that is finding out, how is this relevant today? How can I take this topic, whatever that topic is on a Sunday morning, and present it in a way that God's word hits your life in a way that it engages your life and you want to engage God's word on that subject. And that's something about, I guess, maybe preaching about money. Maybe that's a little bit of laziness on my part. That's easy in this on this topic. It's so relevant. There's no translation that needs to be made. So we're going to be working through this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And really, most of your notes this morning is going to come from what you've been reading all week long. It's going to come from what we just stood and had read to us this morning. So let's go and write down the opening phrase there, and I'm just going to focus on the positive side of the opening phrase. So going to write that down, that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Paul starts off with a very practical agricultural analogy. The concept is, it's straightforward, it's simple. If a farmer spreads a lot of seed, he has a better chance of a larger crop. Pretty simple. If he spreads a little bit of seed, he doesn't have a chance at a large crop. The largest he can expect is a small crop. So you spread more seed, you get a bigger crop. That's logic, agricultural logic. Now, he cannot control the weather, as we're well aware of right now in the midst of some crazy weather here in Ohio. He can only do what he can about pests. And back in that day, you know, they didn't have the pesticides and things that we have today. And even today, with all the pesticides, they're still pests. They still get in there. They still mess things up. So you can only do what you can about that. You can only do what you can about weeds. Especially when you're dealing with a large plot of land, there's only so much you can do. They're going to creep in. They're going to be part of that. There's only so much control you have over the pests, over the weeds. And they might put out a scarecrow. That might help to scare away the birds as the seeds are starting to grow. But then once the crop grows up, and you know that some birds aren't going to be afraid of that. You know, the big, you know, manly birds. They're scared of no scarecrow. I'm going to get some seed. So, you know, but then once the crop starts growing, the scarecrows don't keep out all of the little bunnies or the deer or other little, you know, woodland animals that come in and they, you know, they put a dent in the produce. So the farmer can't control fully all of those things. The one thing the farmer can control is how much seed he sows. He is in full control of that. How much seed he sows. My grandmother owned a 300-acre farm down in North Carolina. And in the days of my mother's youth, my grandparents, they made their living off of the land. Now, on their land, there's a portion of their land that was dedicated to woods and forest, and they had some multiple ponds. But then there was another portion of their land that was dedicated to farming. It was a large portion of the land. It was good for farming, and it was dedicated for farming. Now, if they had 100 acres, say, dedicated to farming, great farming land, North Carolina sand, you know, that's just those fields, just the, I remember walking through them when they weren't, you know, when they weren't producing anything in between seasons, and it was just like walking on a beach, a really, really big, long beach. So if they had 100 acres, and they only planted seed on 1 acre, that wasn't going to magically produce 100 acres worth of crop. At best, it was going to produce an acre's worth of crop. Now, they made their living off the land. That's how they lived. That was their income. It wouldn't make sense to have 100 acres of wonderful farming land and only sow seed on 1 acre. If they wanted to maximize their product, if they wanted to maximize their profit, then they would sow seed on all 100 acres so that they would have a chance of having 100 acres worth of produce, 100 acres worth of crop. Paul's illustration here is right in the middle of a section, a passage of scripture where he's talking about money. He's talking about finances. He's talking about a special gift. And if you would read before verse 6, you know, 1 through 5, you'd find out that what he's talking about is a gift that the Corinthians had promised to give. And he's talking to them about that gift that they had promised. So this little analogy isn't just agricultural. It's agricultural in nature, but it's illustrating finances. It's illustrating money. That those who give generously, who give generously to the kingdom, they will reap generously. And those who give sparingly, they will reap sparingly. What you give to the kingdom is what you'll reap from the kingdom, whether it's generously or sparingly. We talked last week about how God's establishments, how they run on the generosity of the whole. That's been the case for thousands of years. It's been God's pattern for the way that his establishments operate, that the funding of the church comes from the generosity of each member. We talked 2 weeks ago about how investments and generosity add value to the dollar, that when you give to God, that money goes into ministry, and that's an investment. It's not just giving. It's not just paying bills. It's an investment. When you see someone baptized into Christ, and you know that happened because you've supported the ministry financially by giving to God, that's an investment. When you give to God generously from your heart, that adds value to you as well as others. It adds value to yourself, how you view yourself, how you understand yourself, and how you function as a person. It adds value to you. We talked in the first message about how our money management habits come from our principles, which are based on our core values. That we will manage our fixed resources ultimately by what's in here, by what's in our. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided where? In his heart. In his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This passage is just so rich. No pun intended. I should give what I've decided in my heart. Let's write that down. That's straight from Scripture. I should give what I've decided in my heart. It's not a decision that comes from being pressured. It's not a decision that comes from being guilted or by being manipulated. It's not even a decision that comes from the positive side of that, of being persuaded. Because that's a biblical term. That's something that someone in my position should be trying to do on topics that are biblical. I'm trying to persuade you to engage God's truth, to engage God's... So it's not even there. I can lead you there through persuasion, but that's not the goal of where that giving comes from. The giving comes as a decision from your heart. It's a decision that comes from your core values, what we talked about in the first message. If it's from the heart, if your giving's from the heart, then your generosity is a true reflection of your heart's condition. If you're giving from the heart, then your generosity is part of your core values, the inside, what makes you you. Then you will not regret giving. You'll not give reluctantly, wishing you hadn't. So let's write that down, straight from Scripture. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. So I should give what I have decided in my heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I should give what I've decided in my heart because God loves a cheerful giver. And that comes from the heart. God loves a cheerful... That is strong language. God loves... It's not like God just nonchalantly clicks the like button on your Facebook status. Yeah, it makes me kind of smile a little bit. We're told in Scripture right here, God loves a cheerful giver. He loves when the heart is in the right condition to give. And I think he loves that because it's a reflection of his own heart. It's a moment where God gets to look down and say, one of my children gets it. They get it. They get what a generous heart is about. They understand the joy of generosity. They understand the excitement that's involved in giving. And when you get that and you're a cheerful giver, I believe that God loves that for those reasons because it exemplifies who he is. It exemplifies his heart. Let's continue reading down in verse 8. It says, and God is able. We all said that loud earlier. God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So let's write this down. God supplies the sower. Isn't that what that says? Passage we just read, God supplies the sower. God supplies the sower. You are the sower. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, you are the sower. All right, tap your other neighbor on the shoulder. Tell him, you are the sower. You might want to wake him up first, considering the volume level we've got here. You are the sower. You are the sower. God supplies the sower. And that sower is someone who sows. Someone who is holding seeds, they're just an extravagant seed shelf. They're just a very complex seed storage place for unused seeds. If you're not sowing, if you're not doing anything with the seeds, a sower is someone who does something with the seeds they've been given. You are the sower if indeed you are sowing. And I can say with confidence that God intended every one of us to be sowers because he supplies the sower and he has supplied us. He intends us to be sowers. Every one of us, God supplies the sower. And he will make sure I have what I need to succeed. I'm just going to write that down. He'll make sure that I have what I need to succeed. Verse 8 says, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Having all that you need. He gives me all I need to succeed, to abound in every good work. That's success in my book. To be good at every good work. So he makes sure that I have what I need to succeed. He gives us a brain, he gives you hands and feet, and he gives you seed. He will also make sure that I am supplied to be generous. He will make sure that I am supplied to be generous. So God oversupplies the sowers. He gives them more than they need so that they can be generous with what they have. Verse 11, again, says you will be made rich. That's above and beyond. That's more than what you need. Be made rich. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous. So you'll be given more than what you need. You'll be made rich so that the purpose of being made rich is so that you can be generous. So that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And so that's the next one here in this little section of notes. God blesses me so that I can be a blessing to others. That's God's pattern. God blesses you so that you can bless others, and then they praise God for the blessing that you are to them. That's the pattern that happens. That's the pattern that's talked about in verse 12. It says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for two things. They will praise God for your obedience, which accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. Everyone say obedience and generosity. Two things. People are going to praise God for those two things. So let's take some notes real quick on this little section. My generous gifts result in supplying the needs of God's people. Very practical. Horizontal. Nothing wrong with that. It's scriptural. My generous gifts will result in supplying the needs of God's people. And my generous gifts result in God's people praising God for my obedience and generosity. I need to add an ing to that for second service. So, because that doesn't work. Praise doesn't fit the sentence. Praising. God's people praising God for my obedience and generosity. This is a note. It kind of funnels all of this down. We talked about this a few weeks ago. So let's write this down. Correctly managing my fixed resources will have kingdom results. I asked you to chew on that, to think about that, to kind of hover over that, to kind of absorb that as you guys were taking in this whole series. Because this whole series funnels down to that statement that correctly managing my fixed resources will have kingdom results. So we've had a chance to digest this subject this month. We've had a ton of scripture this month, a lot of teaching, hopefully lots of praying, hopefully lots of personal study. We had a very candid talk last week about our current financial situation and where we stand there. So the series has just had a whole lot in it. So with all that, we come to this part of our series. I told you that this Sunday we were going to be reviewing our personal habits, to be able to look into a mirror, a spiritual mirror this morning. To take a chance to look at ourselves and evaluate where we are, what our financial habits are right now. What are our habits of generosity, what are habits of giving, where they are. You know where they are. And so we're going to look at that because if we want to change things, any good habit that you have has to start somewhere. And that's why the title of this morning's message is what it is. That good financial habits have to start somewhere. You have to have a starting point. And today is the day. Today, right here, is that somewhere. If you'll open your bulletin, go and open your bulletin. There's a little section on the finances down there. You'll see our attendance numbers. You'll see a couple columns. And then you'll see two columns of our finance numbers. You've got one column that is the actual amount, and that's an average per week for that month, for the past 3 months. And then the next column is our budgeted amount. Now, as I've described to you, the way our budget is built lately, and it's going to be getting tighter this year, our budget is built on a survival basis. This is what we have. That second or the last column right now that you see, the second financial column, that is what we need to survive. I want to add a third column, and you guys are going to help me do that. I want to add a third column. I want to add a goal column. I like goals. I like shooting for things. I like to have something ahead of me, because if I don't, then where I'm sitting, it's awful sometimes. Even if it's great, I'm not content. This drives my wife nuts. And I have to be careful with the people I work with, you know, and my wife and my family, because it's never good enough for me. I'm always pushing for something more. And I've had to learn that when I'm working with other people to make sure that, okay, let's make sure we understand and acknowledge that it's good where it is and acknowledge the work's been put into it and whatnot. And I'm an encourager by nature, so that's not so difficult. But I'm still, it's tough because my mind is always jumping to the next. Okay, this is great. How can we make it better? What can we do next? What's the next goal? And so, sometimes I'm really it's difficult to make goals, to get my goals, because I'm so concerned with making new ones. And so I love that. That's the type of person I am. I like to build vision. I like to build goals. So this morning, I want us to build a third column. I want a goal column. Because churches don't move forward if all they're doing is surviving. Survival is not what God intended for his church. God doesn't want his church to survive. He wants his church to thrive. I want to see a church in motion. And the only way we're going to be a church in motion is to set some goals and to reach for those goals. If we're satisfied with survival, with the status quo, with just enough it takes to survive, to keep a couple of people on staff, to keep the electric on, to keep the water running, we're not going to move forward. That's not a church in motion. And I don't believe that's a church that, the type of church that God wants. God wants a church that's moving forward, that's advancing. So I want a third column. I want a third column. And we're going to build that goal together. We're going to build a giving goal together as a team. First service, second service, everyone combined in that. And the tool that we're going to use for that is we've got some giving goal faith promise cards that we're going to be looking at here in a few minutes. Now, before you guys jump, I know that there's negative connotations with some of these things. Let me jump to the negative real quick. Here's what these cards are not. Please listen to this, because I don't want you to shut me off. I want to build a goal together. I want you to see what this is. So let me explain what this is not, what these cards are not. These cards are not some way of holding you accountable to some amount that you've put down. It's not, I purposely avoided the word commitment card. It's not some form of accountability. We're not going to keep track of your commitment card and your giving patterns, and then if you get behind, we're not going to send some 6'2" burly guy to your door that speaks like the Godfather, you know, to go, come on, you know, collect your money. That's not going to happen. That's not what these cards are for. These cards are not an attempt to poke into your personal life. When you see the card, we're going to be passing them out in a moment, but when you see the card, there is a spot for your name, but very clearly marked optional. And I'll explain the reason why that is even there. I wasn't even going to put it there. But after talking to some people, it made sense to have that for one reason. We'll get to that. I don't want your name. That's completely optional. I want your participation in this exercise. I want us to build a goal together. I want us to put this together, to goal together. Here's what this is. It is a team-building exercise. It's a chance for all of us together to set a giving goal as a church, as a team, as a whole, first service, second service, traditional, contemporary, everyone that attends here on a Sunday morning to set a goal together, a goal set by the church for the church, not a goal that I threw out. I don't mind doing that. We've done that for Easter offerings and different things, and you guys have done excellent at stepping up to the plate and meeting those goals. I don't mind throwing those out, but for this, I don't want it to be a number that I throw out. I don't want it to even be a number from our leadership team or a finance team. I want this to be your number from you guys, from the church, from all of us together. It's a team building exercise. That's what it is. It is an academic exercise. It's a teaching tool. You guys know I love to teach God's word. Huge passion for me. Any chance I get, anything, if it's going to be bringing up a dry erase board, if it's going to be showing a video, if it's going to be doing some sort of prop or something here, any chance I have of being able to teach God's word better, to help God's word get into your life so that you can practice it and engage God's word, and God's word engages your life, any chance I get to do that, I'm going to take those any chance. You guys know that, right? Okay, that's what this is. It's an academic exercise. It's a way to engage God's word in a very practical, a very, very real fashion. It is a goal-setting exercise. If you read articles on goal-setting or books on that subject, or you hear experts speak on the subject, across the board, one of the common tactics of goal-setting is to do what? Write down your goal. Is that familiar? You guys heard that over and over and over again. You want to set goals? That's one of the strategies to keeping your goals. Write your goals down. So that's another reason why we're going to be doing this. We're going to set a goal. We're going to write it down as individuals so that together as a whole church, we're actually, everyone has a pencil and a pen involved in writing the church's goal. We're writing a goal together. It's a goal-setting exercise. It's an exercise in responsibility. We're not in good financial shape here. So this gives you a chance to take part in being a solution with real numbers, side by side with other people with real numbers, so that we can get one big whole number that we can be excited about, that we can drive toward, that we can move towards and take responsibility. And as Nehemiah says in chapter 10, that we as a church have decided that we will not neglect the house of God. And lastly, it is a spiritual exercise. It's a time to take God at His word and step out on faith with a New Year's resolution. It is the New Year. It's January still. A New Year's resolution about good financial habits. Your resolution today might be to resolve to continue your current giving habits. They're healthy. They're positive. You're engaging God's word. This whole series has been an encouragement to you. And so your resolution today might be to just continue what you're doing. Keep it up. Your resolution today might be to get back to some giving habits. Maybe some things have happened that have disrupted that have caused that to slow down or to stop. And maybe today your resolution is to step back in there, get back into your giving habits. Maybe today it's to resolve to increase this year. Maybe you're up for the challenge. Maybe your resolution today is going to be to increase. Maybe today, and this might not be for this group, but I want to share this because I want you to know that this is a goal for the second service, that maybe this will be a resolution to start brand new, to start for the first time. Some of you guys know the joy of giving. You know the joy of generosity. You know the blessings. You know the whole Malachi promise, and you've lived that out. I've heard stories from different groups of you from this service about how that has happened in your life. Some of you know that. Some of you have lived that. Some of you don't need to start new because you've been doing it. You're going to continue doing it. And that's great news. But I want you to know that that's another part of this, that it's a spiritual exercise for those who have never started before, to get started, to resolve to start. So So let's go on and let me go on and get our ushers to go on and pass out these cards. They have the cards. And what we're going to do is when they pass them out, we're going to walk through the card, and I'm just going to explain the card to you. We're going to walk through it piece by piece because I don't want there to be any confusion. I don't want you to fill it out right now. I'm just going to walk through with you. Okay, then after that, I'm going to pray, and Logan's going to be sharing a special music with us. And during that special music, you'll have, you know, 2.5, 3.5 minutes, somewhere around there, about 3 minutes, to spend some time in prayer, to write down. If you're just going to continue what you're doing, then go on and write that down. Don't put your name on there if that doesn't feel good for you. But we're all going to need to write down what we're doing so we can build a goal together as a church. If I've got a handful of you that say, you know what, I've always given, I'm going to continue to give, regardless if it's on a piece of paper or not. And then we get to our total, and our total's not what it should be. Even though you're going to continue to give, that's great. I want to see a goal. I want us as a church to see a goal and say, this is what we're shooting for. And so that's why those of you who have given, who have always given, this is going to be a helpful exercise for that. Yes. Yes, one poor house, unless they give separately, you know. Some people take that literally. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. So, if they give separately, then yeah, it's separate ones. But if you give together, then do so there. And then I need you to pay very close attention to the instructions. So after we get these passed out, we're going to walk through this. If you've already got one, go on and grab a pen or pencil. That's the first step here. Everyone gets a pen or pencil that has a piece of paper. So everyone that has a piece, and I'm going to tell you the reason for this. Even if you're sitting there and, you know, you're thinking, I'm not going to do this. I don't need to do this. Pick up a pencil, pen, because it's not about you. It's about us. It's about everyone. And I'll explain why. I'm not forcing you to put down numbers, but I am going to force you to write something down. Because I'm going to get to that. So everyone grab a pencil. Everyone take this and fold it along the dotted line there. Crease it. And then go on and tear that. Tear that along the dotted line. So we both have two halves. You're not actually half. One's a little bigger than the other, but we have a 65-45. Okay. Now, on this part, the top part, when the song's playing, everyone's going to be writing something down. Everyone is going to be moving a pencil. Everyone's going to be moving a pen. And here's why. Because I don't want some people who would want to participate in this, someone who might be starting this brand new, I don't want any of us to rob them of that feeling, because they might feel very self-conscious about doing this. And if they look around them and they see people who've been members of church here for 10, 20, 30 years, and they're not writing, then I don't want them to feel weird because they're writing. Okay, so everyone's going to write. For that reason, also for the other reason, of I don't want anyone to feel like the spotlight's on them if they haven't decided to give. If it's not the right time for them yet, or they're not up for the challenge, or whatever their situation may be, if they're not wanting to give anything, if they're not wanting to change anything or do anything different, I don't want the spotlight to be on them, because other people are looking around, they say, oh, well, they're not writing anything, they must not be doing, you know. And so I don't want that to be the case either. Do you guys see how that's for both types of people, both groups? So that you're writing something now. Now, if you fill out numbers and all that and you do what we're wanting to do, excellent. If you're not going to do that, just scribble something. Draw a picture, write something, you know, whatever. And then we'll get to the finished part of that. So filling this out, the name section is completely optional. It was shared with me that some people might want to give their name for a sense of accountability. That if someone somewhere sees my name attached to this you know, giving goal, then I'm going to feel more accountable. And I was told you don't want to take that away from somebody. So I don't want to take that away from you. We're not going to follow up on it. If you give us your name, we're not calling you. We're not going to give you accountability, but if it helps you to feel like you have an extra level of accountability because you put your name on it, feel free. That's why the blank's there. That's the only reason the blank is there. So you don't need to do that. So then the next section here, what you'll do is you'll decide how you're going to give. Some people like to give weekly, some people biweekly, biweekly is every other week, or semi-monthly, which is twice a month. Both are different. They differ by two on the year. So one is 26 times a year, one is 24 times a year, or monthly or quarterly, however you have decided to give. Go and write that number down, and then I've got numbers there to help you out with the math. So if you're going to give, you know, $1,000 monthly, and then, you know, that's shooting big. $1,000 monthly, then you'd go 1,000 times 12 and get $12,000 for the year. And we need that year total, so it'll make it easier for those that are counting this. So that's how that section is going to work. Now, make sure. Yeah, we're good there. So that's the top half. Now the bottom half, this is between you and God. I want you to put this somewhere private, somewhere where you're going to see it, where you're going to be reminded of it. This is for you. The information there is copied from the other card to remind you, here's what my giving goal is. So if you've set your giving goal at, $100 a week, then you'd say, I have set a giving goal of 2014 of $100 on a weekly basis so that my total for the year will be $5,200. Okay? You see how that works on the second one? And the signature side, the part of that, that's back to just being a spiritual learning exercise. We're not going to ever see this card. I don't want to see this card. I want everyone to take these cards home with them, even if you're not going to use them, I don't want to see these here. I don't want that to be a discouragement to someone who took this in a very serious manner. I don't want them to be discouraged because they see torn pieces of paper laying around of people that didn't step forward like what they wanted to. So this is for you, strictly for you, to remember what your giving goal is, and the signature is simply between you and God. Make sure I got all my instructions there. Okay, then after you're done with that, then you fold the one card in half. And then after the song, we'll be passing the offering bags back out. And then everyone puts the folded in half paper in the offering bag so no one feels left out. Okay? So everyone puts a folded, regardless of what you wrote on it, fold it in half. After you're done writing, put it in the offering bag. So those are the instructions. Let's pray, and then we'll be able to listen to a song and spend some time in this spiritual exercise.